Now let's open our minds and our hearts to receive a fresh and relevant message from the Word of God shared by our very own Pastor Eddie.
Good morning. Hold up your Bibles. We do this every week in case you're new to our church. We hold up the Bible because everything I'm going to tell you comes from one place. Not my opinion. Doesn't come from a best-selling book. What does it come from a best-selling book? It is the best-selling book ever. The book's called the Bible. And so everything I'm going to tell you comes from the Bible. And so you never have to say, where did he get that from? I'm going to show you where I'm going to get it from, right? So this is what we say. This is the Word of God. Well, you don't have to say it. I'm going to say it, and you're just going to say amen at the end. This is going to mess me up. This is the Word of God. I'll choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Started a message series now 6 weeks ago entitled, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, Thus the Music of You Two Playing When I Walked Up, because you're probably thinking, if you're new to our church, thinking, why are they playing YouTube music as he walked? It's not my walk-up song. I have found what I'm looking for. I'm just going to tell you. So far in this series, week number one, I talked to you about finding God. And I told you basically each and every week, and I just want to remind you, that in life, we're all looking for things. We're looking for love. We're looking for happiness, fulfillment, and all those kinds of things. You're not going to find any of those things until you find God first. That's why we started the series off, Finding God. And if you'll find God first, I promise you this is what will happen. You'll either find the things you're looking for, or you'll forfeit those things because you realize that they're not important to you anymore. Week number two, I talked about finding significance. Remember, significance is not found in the accumulation of things. It's not found in popularity. Significance is found in the impact that your life has on the people around you. When you leave someone's presence, do they say, glad you're gone, or I wish you were still here? I hope that it's the latter. I hope that it's the, I can't wait for them to come back, because every time I'm around them, they make such a significant difference in my life. Amen? And I believe the people of New Beginnings, that's what happens, is that you come here, you're in the presence of God each and every week, and you leave here changed, and when you do, the people around you go, I don't know what's happening with them, but there's something different about them. There you go, amen. So that required an amen, and you just would say. Week number three, I talked about finding love. How many of you found, you're looking for love in all the wrong places? We've all done that from time to time, because we think love is this. It's a feeling, and I get it down in here, and my palms get sweaty. That ain't love. That's got other words attached to it. We can only really experience love the way God designed it when we experience God, because he's the designer of love. He is love, right? When people say, well, if you tell me one thing about God, you probably say, God is love. And you'd be absolutely right. God is love. And the only way to experience love the way God designed love is to experience God first and to receive his love in order to give his love. You can't give what you don't own, right? Week number four, I talked about finding success. I was talking to our young people graduating high school, college, and so on, and venturing off into new life, new careers. And I of the 10 points that I made that week, I never make 10, but I should say I rarely make 10. But of all those 10 points, the one that I want to leave you with is this one, the most important one. Take God with you. On your journey to find success, take God with you, and you'll find all the success that you need. In week number five, I talked about finding purpose. And of the four keys of finding purpose, I believe that the one that I sense is the most important is you activating your faith. is not just saying I have faith, but actually living in it, walking in it, activating the faith we say we have. We can say we have faith, like James said, right? I told you James chapter 2. He said, you have faith, I have deeds. You show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by what I do. My faith is alive, and you'll see it by my actions, by my attitude, right? Today, I want to talk to you about the subject of finding God's plan for my life. Let me ask you a question. Anybody in here looking for God's plan for their life? Probably every one of us, because you're in church. How many of you have ever had this happen to you before? Someone comes to you and they got this monumental problem, this monumental thing in their life, and they just download it all on you immediately, and you're like, you don't even know what to say, right? You're just sitting there like, gee, I'm glad I'm not you. You know. But that's not the right answer, by the way. That wouldn't make you a very good Christian. Gee, I'm glad I'm not you. No, what you say is you go, how many times have we said this? God has a plan. And sometimes we say that, and we say it, and it's kind of cliche, right? Like, I don't know what to say, so I'm just going to throw this out there. God has a plan. All right, good luck. Good to see you. That's what I'm telling you. God has a plan. And as cliche as sometimes as it might sound, I want you to know it's the truest thing you'll ever say. God has a plan. In the Old Testament, we see that when the children of Israel had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, God had a plan. And Jeremiah the prophet comes to them in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. He says, this is God speaking through the prophet. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future, right? And so here they are, 70 years in captivity, and God's saying, hey, I know what the last 70 years have been like, but trust me, I got a plan. And it's better than you think. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. He said, then you'll be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his plan. And here's what it is: good, pleasing, and perfect. I want you to know, not only does God have a plan, but it's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. All right, time to go home. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to spend the rest of the service literally right here in Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to tell you, you'll hear me and you'll hear other pastors maybe refer to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, as and we'll say things like the writer of Hebrews instead of saying the Apostle Paul or whatever, because theologians have studied for centuries only to come to the conclusion that we really don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. I think it was the Apostle Paul. And most theologians like me, really good ones, they think the same way. And everybody else thinks something different. But for argument's sake, we're just going to go ahead and say the writer of Hebrews, because we're really, quite honestly, not sure. All right. The writer of Hebrews wrote this in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Remember that anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, we ask ourselves the question, then this, I'm just going to tell you. So I said this in first service. I got like three people answered. Y'all are much more theologically astute than the, don't tell them I said that. I'm just telling you, you got it going on. So the word therefore is there for you to remind yourself anytime you see that in scripture to stop and back up. So if you're reading the Bible at home and you come across the word, like you're reading in Hebrews and all of a sudden you get to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and you see the word therefore, it should tell you to stop and back up and reread what you just read, because obviously there's something there for me. There's something there for me to see. There's something there for me to learn before I can move on. And it's so important that the Apostle Paul, the writer of Hebrews, put it there so we would be reminded to go back and reread chapter 11. How do we know that he really just wanted us to reread chapter 11? Well, let's read the rest of verse 1. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by what? Such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, this great cloud of witnesses is known as the Hall of Faith, is what they call it. And so it's just a chapter about all kinds of great people throughout the Bible who did great things by faith. Now, I love the terminology in Hebrews chapter 11. He uses the words by faith. The word faith is the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it means moral conviction or belief. So what he's, and I love that he starts literally in the beginning. In the beginning of Hebrews 11, he gives us a definition of what faith is. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, right? And so then he launches into by faith. By faith, the universe was created. By faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch walked with God. Then you get down to verse 6. Now, by the way, I want you to know, verse 6, I think of all scripture, is probably my favorite verse. It's the reason we still have the big faith sign hanging on the wall of this church. Of all of the things that we've done over the last themes of the last how many years? Since 2012. This one is the one that I want our church to be known for above all things, that we're a church that responds by faith. We live by faith. We walk this walk by faith. I want God to look at me one day and say, "Yeah, you faithed well." Because see, faith is not it's not something you just believe, it's something you do, right? By faith. And he says, and without faith in Hebrews chapter 11, 6, and without faith, it is, here's the word, impossible to please God. Because anyone that comes to him must believe he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I want you to know, God is in the rewarding business, and he rewards you by faith. And then he goes on to say, by faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Abraham left his family to go to an unknown land. By faith, Abraham and Sarah had a child at 190 years respectively. By faith, Abraham was going to sacrifice that promised son until God told him not to stop. By faith, Joseph, prior to his death, prophesied that his people would once again leave Egypt and go to Canaan, into the promised land, and spend the rest of their lives there. By faith, Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. By faith, Joshua led them into the promised land. And by faith, they watched the walls of Jericho fall down. Listen, by faith, it says in Hebrews 11:32, and what more shall we say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle, routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. Here's what they all had in common. They walked by faith. They had moral conviction and belief. Hebrews 12:1, therefore. You want to know what it's there for? That's what it's there for. Since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I'm going to give you five ways to find God's plan for your life today. The race, here it is, or as the writer of Hebrews says in verse 1, the race marked out for you. The first one is this. If you're going to find God's plan for your life, you must look to the example of others. That's why he says, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, the writer of Hebrews is telling us, look to the example of others. Listen, God doesn't call us to walk this walk alone. He puts us in this thing called the body. He puts us in community and fellowship with other believers so that we can look around. And when I'm having struggles, I can look at your life, and I can look at your life, not all the time, but I can look at sometimes at your life, and I can look at, and you'll help me, and I'll help you, and together, arm in arm, we can walk this walk together. Do you understand that nothing that you've done or will do for God has not already been done? The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Wise King Solomon wrote that, smartest man who ever lived, right? As it pertains to you and I walking with God, listen, everything that you're going to be called by God to do has already been done. So don't think, I'm the first one to step out in faith. I'm the first one out the boat. No, you're not. You're about that 90 millionth one out the boat. Just be glad he called you out the boat. And get out when he calls, right? I've now walked with God a little over 20 years or 21 or so years. And in walking with God, I'm so thankful that I've got to experience some of the things that I've experienced. And I want you to know this, in my 21 years, he's never let me down. Listen, not even once. Now you're probably sitting there thinking, well, he's let me down a few times. And I'm gonna argue that that's not really true. See, because I can look back now at 21 years of God's faithfulness, and I can look back at prayers I prayed that he didn't answer. And now I'll look back and go, glad you didn't answer. Glad you didn't answer. Glad you, because what you had for me was better than all those things I was praying. I remember, listen, you think it's funny. I remember being in our first building. God, if you could just give me this building. I just take this little 6,000 square feet. And God's like, you don't want no 6,000 square feet. I got way more than that. And then all of a sudden we get over to Jefferson. We get on Jefferson Avenue, and we moved in to 16,000 square feet. And I was like, oh, we done arrived. Jesus, can we just have this building? He's like, you really don't want this building, huh, Jerry? This building had all kind of problems. Like, he's like, it's nice, it's old. You don't really want it because it's going to cost you more to fix it. And it's too chopped up anyway, and it's not big enough for what I got planned. And so just sit tight. Trust me, I got this. And all of a sudden, look what God did, huh? See, so when you look back at the times, well, God, I wish you would have answered this prayer this way. I wish you would have answered this prayer this way. I promise you, if you just wait long enough, you'll look back and go, glad you didn't answer. So when I tell you God has never failed me, I'm not saying that flippantly. I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm saying that because it's a fact. And God has never failed you. He can be trusted. We got to look to the example of others. Me looking back at my own life, me looking at the lives of other people and watching what God has done allows me to continue to move forward. You know, I never forget when last year when the pandemic hit, and nobody can forget the pandemic. We'll use it like we did Katrina. Remember, this happened the year of the pandemic, you know? We used Katrina as a marker for years. Was this pre-Katrina or after Katrina? Glad that's over. We don't need any more of that, by the way. So let's pray against that. We don't, you know. So I had a friend call me right when this pandemic stuff started last year, and he says, well, Pastor Eddie, you have a pastor during a pandemic? Nah, nope, sure haven't. He goes, good, me neither. Let's do it together. That's a great idea. So we're in a network. Our church is in a network with hundreds of pastors from all over the country. And so I would be on these conference calls with all these guys throughout the pandemic, and we're all just really helping one another because none of us had ever been through it. But we collectively had the experience, and we collectively had the walk to walk together, and we say, well, hey, listen, this is what's happening in my neck of the woods. And they say, well, this is what's happening in my neck of the woods. And together we can navigate it better than we could apart. I want you to know that God puts examples in your life of other people so that you know how to navigate what's coming. Look to the example of others if you want to find God's plan for your life. Number two, challenge everything else. Hebrews 12:1. We're going to stay right there in Hebrews 12:1 for a while. Listen to what it says. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off, look at the word, everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. In the case of finding God's will, or as you attempt to find God's plan, there'll be things that will attempt to dissuade you and distract you and get you off track because they don't want you to carry out God's plan for your life. Let me ask you this. How many times have you ever come to the altar after service? Man, you're just touched, moved by God. You come to the altar and you pray, like, I'm in agreement with you, Pastor Eddie, and you walk out of here. And the moment your foot hits outside the front door, the enemy starts speaking. You didn't really mean that. Yeah, I saw you went to the altar, but you didn't really mean that, did you? Matter of fact, I know you didn't mean it because I've seen you go to the altar before, and I see you the way you act Monday through Friday. You just did that for everybody else to see, didn't you? See, the devil don't want you to respond to God's plan and walk in God's plan because the minute you do, he done lost another one. So the next time you hear that voice, you just go, get behind me, Satan, and take the next step and keep on walking because I got a plan to fulfill. So there's the enemy, but then, you know, there's also self. Sometimes worse than the enemy sometimes. You know, we all have plans and we all have a will, and our will and God's will look nothing alike. We all have this sin nature. We all have this thing that we're born with that wants to do the exact opposite of what God wants us to do. Is that just me and her? Is this? The Apostle Paul even wrote in Romans chapter 7, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Now imagine that, the Apostle Paul, who was probably the greatest apostle, the greatest evangelist to ever walk the earth, planted churches all over the known world. And he's telling you, as bad as I want to live for God, there's something in me fighting against it. Yes. See, you think the enemy's your biggest problem. Many times your biggest problem looks in the mirror. And you're like, man, you look good, but Paul, you got problems. That's why the writer of Hebrews tells us to run the race with perseverance. Yes, yes. The word perseverance, let me remind you, I use this all the time, and you should even know it by now. It's the Greek word, who said that? Hupomone, right? Hupomone, because, and it just means patient continuance to push against the things that are pushing against you. I made a baby cry. So sorry. Most babies like me. You know, that's, and so besides the fact that we have the enemy pushing against us and ourselves pushing against us, you know, there'll be also some well-meaning people that will push against you. You know how many times over the years we heard the words, are y'all feeling all right? Because y'all making some crazy decisions. Thank God the Lord speaks to me, and then he speaks to her. Because had he only spoken to me, I'd probably be divorced. She'd be like, son, you stepped off the deep end one too many times. Keep walking, you know. And so thank God, as he spoke to me, he spoke to her so that we could do crazy together, right? Yeah. I said we should do faith together. But see, here's the problem with God's plan and God's will. In the meeting, when God called you up and said, hey, this is what we're going to do, and he downloaded his plan, nobody else was in the meeting. It's just me and him. And so when I come to you and say, hey, God said this, 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 and this, and we need to do that, you go, I think you're crazy. Listen, you weren't in the meeting. And that's the problem. And now I have a track record. Thank God for track records, right? I used to have a track record that said all the wrong things. Now I got a track record that said all the right things. And my track record says, but Pastor Eddie lives by faith. He responds to God by faith. And he hears from God because look at all the stuff that's happening. Challenge everything else. If it goes against God's plan and God's will, challenge it. It doesn't belong there because you're going to have to persevere, right? Push against the things pushing against you. Number three, I love this terminology. We use it a lot these days. Stay in your lane. How many times you heard that at work? Stay in your lane. I say it at home. Stay in your lane. Because look what it says in Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Look at the last six words. The race marked out for us. You could just scratch out the word us and write me. The race marked out for me. You ever gotten lost while traveling in an unknown area? Much as I hate to admit it, I get lost more than I like. I think I'm a navigator. Like, I'm a trailblazer. Like, I could find the way. It's kind of become comical. She'll go, I'm putting it on the phone so you don't get lost. Like, I don't need that phone, girl. Put that in the back seat. Girl, I got this. I know where I'm at. 35 miles out the way, right? You guys, you do that too? Let me tell you, this is a funny story. We were in California long before iPhones and all that stuff. And we had and if you've ever been to Southern California, they make a book of maps just for the Los Angeles area. And it's about this thick, like this, and it's pages, hundreds of pages of just the Los Angeles area to find your way around. Well, you have to go to a class to learn how to read the map. So my uncle gives me his car, me and Peggy, his car, and this map that we have no clue how to read. This is no lie. We were lost for 8 hours. I was crying. I'm like, we're never getting out of here. I stopped at a gas station. You would think if you live in an area, you'd know where. Hey, where's Burbank? Everybody knows where Burbank is. Guess where Johnny Carson's at? Burbank, California. Hey, where's Burbank? I don't know. Like, what do you mean you don't know? You live here. I was going crazy. Anyway, I seem to have gotten lost again. Once we were in Orlando, Florida, and our car at the time had a navigation system called OnStar. Any of you guys have that OnStar? And I pressed the button and said, OnStar, we would like to go to SeaWorld. It was a Sunday morning, and OnStar said, we're setting the directions to your car radio. I was like, awesome, let's go. So we get on the road, and we're driving to SeaWorld. And I see signs, SeaWorld, this way, we're headed the right direction. And it says, SeaWorld, next exit. And my thing's saying 14 more miles, 10 more miles. SeaWorld. She's like, maybe we should have got off. I don't think, this thing is telling us we got to look. So we wound up in an office park on a Sunday morning, not a car in sight, not a human being in sight. I didn't see Shamu. All I said was, maybe SeaWorld's offices are in this park, but Shamu ain't here. We found our way eventually, not 8 hours later, moments later. We found our way to SeaWorld, the amusement park. And it reminded me that as good of intentions as the car navigation system had, it still got me off track. You see, because we have a path marked out for us, and sometimes in our attempt to find the path, We can go to something that looks like the path. It's similar to the path. Even got the same name as the path. But ain't nobody around. And Shamu ain't nowhere to be found. In your attempt to find God's plan for your life, sometimes you're going to get lost. But you know, it's okay. And God's okay, and God is patient with us to wander. Why do you think he told Joshua, hey, Joshua, if you don't turn to the right or to the left, you'll be successful. But along the way, if you keep turning to the right and you keep turning to the left, you're going to keep getting lost. You're going to keep wandering off. You're going to be in an office park when you should have been with Shamu. You know what I mean? And so we in our attempt to find God's plan, let's not get distracted by what others are doing. Because listen, I know this is shocking. My call and your call, not the same call. Your call and her call, not the same call. Why? Because God has a path marked out for me. He has a path marked out for you, right? And if you walk your path out, that's why I'm telling you, stay in your lane. Sometimes here at work, I'll be like, hey, I'll see somebody doing something that trying to help somebody else. And I appreciate them trying to help one another and be team players and all that. But sometimes we just need to learn to stay in our lane. Because when we stay in our lane, that's where I'm most productive. That's where I'm going to get the most done. That's where the best things are going to happen, in the lane, the path marked out for me. Right? My plans will keep me far from God and far from the places he wants me to go. His plans will put me exactly where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there, and Shamu will be waiting. So remember, every time you miss the mark, along the way, along that time of being lost and trying to find our way, you know, there are things we need to learn in those lost times. And sometimes God corrects us when we're there. That's why he says in Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Anybody here love to be disciplined? Man, could you just spank me again, Lord? I'm just so happy to mess up again. I think I probably lived most of my childhood like that. Dad, could you just punish me again? Because I just enjoy being punished. It seemed like I did. It seemed like I enjoyed being punished more than I enjoyed being free, because I spent a lot of time in it. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Remember, along the path, there'll be detours, there'll be lessons, there'll be corrections, but this is how we grow spiritually. In trying to find God's plan, you're going to find yourself lost. You're going to find yourself in an office park with no Shamu. But it's okay, but there's a lesson to learn there. Don't miss the lesson, because if you miss the lesson, guess what happens? You take the test again. The children of Israel are examples of that. 40 years they marched around the desert taking the same test over and over. Hey, guys, listen. 11-day journey or 40 years? You get to decide. Listen, church, I don't want you taking the same journey for 40 years when you could do it in 11 days. I don't want you to do it one moment longer than you need to. Get the lesson, learn the lesson, get back on the path, and stay in your lane, and go to where God's calling you to go. Amen? Amen. Number four, if we're going to find God's plan, we need to, how about this one? This is novel. Consider Jesus. How about that? I love the big Hebrews 12:2, the first words. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's what Paul's saying. Hey, if you want to find the path marked out for you, here's an idea. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I bet the people reading it, oh my God, wish I'd have thought of that. I'm looking at all these people who walked the walk before me. I'm trying to stay in my lane. I'm doing, fixing my eyes on Jesus. Oh my God. Thank you for that. Listen, the only way to find God's plan for your life is through God's plan for your life. Listen, do you know God's plan for your life? Jesus. Do you know that from the beginning it was God's only plan? Still is. The Savior of the Not a Savior, the Savior. Jesus was and is God's only plan that he ever had, and it's the only plan that we should ever have. Listen, if your plans don't involve God's plan, Jesus, the man Jesus, then you got the wrong set of plans. Roll them up, put them down, get you a new set of plans. It's called the Bible. John chapter 1, verse 1. Yes? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Listen, who is John talking about in John 1, 1?
Jesus.
It could, Jesus. There you go. In the beginning was Jesus. He was with God in the beginning. He's the reason that everything you see was created. In him was light, was the life of the world. In him, in Jesus. Listen, it is God's plan. Jesus is God's plan. You want to find God's plan? Find Jesus. There's no greater example than Jesus. And number five, last but not least, we have to live by faith. We have to live by faith. Hebrews 11, 6. It is literally, I think, my favorite verse of all the Bible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Say the word impossible.
Yes.
How many of you just want to please God?
Yes.
I just want to please you. Here it is.
Yes.
By faith.
Yes.
Not because I got a good Christian t-shirt. Not because I put a fish in my car. Not because I listen to Christian radio only. By faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone, that means everyone who comes to him, must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Listen, in your attempt to find God's plan for your life, we must never attempt, and I don't believe that you can attempt to do it without faith. I don't think you can find God's plan without stepping out in faith, because there will be times that you'll try to find God's plan and the only way to respond will be by faith. As a matter of fact, through the last over 20 years, the times we've had to step out by faith will just blow your mind. If I told you the stories, you'd be like, I'm never doing that. Then guess what? You'll never go where we've gone. You'll never see some of the things we've seen unless you're ready to respond to God by faith. And unless you're ready to live by faith, you're never going to fully understand and comprehend God's plan for your life. According to Hebrews 11, 6, it's the only thing that we can actually do that pleases God. And I hope that all of us in our hearts just want to please God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, Peter writes, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and the goodness knowledge, and the knowledge self-control, and the self-control perseverance, and the perseverance godliness, and the godliness mutual affection, and the mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when we respond to Jesus by faith, we are adding to our faith. When you live by faith, you're pleasing God. You get to accomplish and discover his plans for your life. You will see and experience supernatural things that you could never experience without faith. And you eventually grow up spiritually. And that God's plan for every one of us is not to leave us as infants, but to grow up spiritually. If you want to grow up spiritually, faith will be the call of the day. Amen? Would you stand with me? Actually, I'm not quite there yet, but you can stand anyway. It's okay. Good for you. Let the blood rush. I'm praying that one day people will describe my life when I'm gone. Man, by faith, Pastor Eddie did this. And by faith, by faith, by faith. And my name will precede the words by faith. But you know what my prayer has been all week for you? Is that your name will be preceded by the words by faith. By faith, they did this. By faith, they did that. By faith, they stepped out. By faith, by faith. And when you step out by faith, you know, somebody else is watching. Somebody else will see and say, I'm going to follow that example. How will your name follow the words by faith? Living a life of faith can be the scariest, yet the greatest and most fulfilling place you'll ever live. I never want to go back. I know what it's like to live without it, and I know what it's like to live with it, and I tell you, I live with it every time because I don't have to worry about the outcome. I know who does. And I trust him implicitly. So the outcome is not up to me. The outcome is up to him. And I trust him for it. Amen? I live by faith. 5 ways to find God's plan for my life. Look to the example of others. Challenge everything else that tries to get in the way. Stay in your lane. The path, the race marked out for you. Consider Jesus and live by faith. Listen, if you're searching for God's plan for your life, I'm asking you to join me here at the altar this morning. I want to pray for you. If that's you, join me here this morning. Find God's plan, it will mean that you'll have to get rid of yours. So the first order of business here at the altar today is for you, just right inside, not out loud for everybody to hear. God, I put my plans aside to receive your plans. Let's make that proclamation first. God, I put my plans aside to receive your plans for my life. And Heavenly Father, I am looking to the example of those who walk before me. I'm going to challenge everything that attempts to stand in the way of me following your plan for my life. I know that it's your plan. And I know that when I receive it, there will be things I will attempt to get in the way. Myself, the enemy, even friends, even people who love me. I want to stay in my lane. Like you told Joshua, I don't want to turn to the right or to the left. I want to go exactly where it is you want me to go so that I'll arrive exactly when I'm supposed to arrive and receive all that you have for me there. Yes, Jesus, you're going to go with me because I won't take one step on this path, one step on this race without you there with me. And I will do it by faith. Even when I can't see, even when I don't know, I know who does, and I trust in you implicitly, and I say, Father, lead my every step, guard me from myself and from everything that would attempt to get in the way. I want to go where you want to go. I want to experience all that you have for me. I want all that you want for my life. So as I search for your plans, my prayer for these people today, Jesus, is that by the end of this day, God, you begin to download the plans that you have. And these people, as you can see from the response today, will step out and walk where you ask them to walk without reservation, without question, and to experience all that you have for them, each and every one, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.